Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, March 30th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
President Robert Mugabe pleads with Zimbabweans in the diaspora to increase their remittances back home to help revive the country's crumbling economy.
When it comes to elections, we as diasporians, first of all, they must allow us to have a diaspora vote that is going to entice and motivate us to send more money to Zimbabwe through the rightful channels.
On the other hand, Mr. Mugabe is under fire for prioritizing foreign meetings ahead instead of spending time with his ailing wife.
Here we have someone who is supposed to be a head of state and supposed also to be a husband, a parent, who should be showing affection and bonding with his spouse.
And the mayor of Chitungwiza says there's a new wave of land invasions in his municipality that is now threatening his council's plans and mandate to govern Harare's dormitory town.
President Robert Mugabe today pleaded with Zimbabweans in the diaspora to increase their remittances back home to help revive the country's crumbling economy. State radio says Mr. Mugabe made the appeal during a meeting with Zimbabwean nationals living in Ethiopia, where he's attending a COMESA summit. Zimbabwe's economy has increasingly relied on diaspora remittances over the past few years, with the Reserve Bank saying the country received $840 million from diasporans last year. Expatriate Sox Chikowero, based in South Africa, tells reporter Ntungameli Nkomo Mr. Mugabe should allow Zimbabweans in the diaspora to vote and not just be concerned about their money.
I'm surprised that the president met with the diasporans in Ethiopia. I'm trying to figure out what grouping was that, because firstly, we know that Zimbabweans is consisted of two types of diasporans. One is economic migrants, two is political migrants. And both of those people, when they leave the country, they will never go to Ethiopia because of the problems which are facing Ethiopia also there. They will rather go to South Africa, UK, Botswana, US, and Canada and other countries. That's one. However, secondly, when we hear the president talk about asking us to remit the money back, we get surprised because, one, when it comes to elections, we as diasporans, we've been making noise, we've been begging the government to allow us a diaspora vote, and they've been turning us down, but they still want our money to go back. However, we've been sending the money home ever since we've been in the diaspora, and maybe you see how we send the money. They want us to send the money through their channels, which is not a question. The question is, do we send the money to our families? The answer is yes, we are sending the money for our families ever since we came into the diaspora. So what game the president is now trying to play at, we don't know, but we suspect that it was his own grouping, because we know that whenever we've asked the president to meet the president here in South Africa, he has always run away from us. Why now agreeing to meet us in Ethiopia and telling us what he told us in Ethiopia?
We do send lots of money back to Zimbabwe, of course, every year as diasporans, but maybe it's just not enough to meet the current economic challenges.
First of all, they must allow us to have a diaspora vote that is going to entice and motivate us to send more money to Zimbabwe through the rightful channels.
Expatriate Sox Chikowero, based in South Africa, on the line with reporter Ntungameli Nkomo from Johannesburg.
Meanwhile, Mr. Mugabe has come under increasing criticism from Zimbabweans for sticking to a tight foreign travel schedule, even as his wife is rumored to be in Dubai battling colon cancer. The Zimbabwe Independent newspaper reported last week that, quote, contrary to President Mugabe's wife, Grace claims upon her return from an extended stay in Singapore 6 weeks ago that she only had an operation to remove a nagging appendix, she in fact was battling a much more serious ailment, colon cancer, according to her named relatives. Mr. Mugabe's spokesman, George Charamba, and Higher Education Minister Opam Chinguri have confirmed that the First Lady is not well, but have not disclosed the nature of her illness. Colon cancer is cancer of the large intestine, the lower part of the digestive system. Charamba had previously accused the media of being obsessed with the First Family. But international relations expert Clifford Mashiri tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that Zimbabweans have a right to know about the First Family's health status.
In other countries, First Ladies, when they are admitted to hospital, it's announced because they are public figures. They are being looked after at public expense from the taxpayers' money.
Let's look at the dynamics of the ZANU-PF politics. Obviously, she was considered by many to be the linchpin or the kingmaker in the Mnangagwa faction. What does this temporary setback mean?
Oh, it means a very big setback, a big setback psychologically, and we would also say even socially. Psychologically, in terms of the thinking, they are now beginning to have some doubts about her health, particularly if what is being, you know, rumored in the media is anything to go by, alleging she is suffering from cancer of the colon. So that will give them a very, very difficult time to think about the future of their faction, that is the Mnangagwa group. And the implications also are wider socially. Mrs. Mugabe has been involved in a lot of activities, some of them progressive, others very negative.
Lastly, some people are also critical of President Robert Mugabe, saying he is keeping a busy schedule, flying out of the country at any given opportunity instead of being with his wife. Is this justified?
It is very justified. It is very, very justified, I repeat, because here we have someone who is supposed to be a head of state and supposed also to be a husband, a parent, who should be showing, you know, affection and bonding with his spouse.
That was international relations expert Clifford Mashiri, a former Zimbabwe diplomat to Ethiopia, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from London.
Direct from Washington.
The mayor of Chitungwiza says there's a new wave of land invasions in his municipality that is now threatening his council's plans and mandate to govern Harare's dormitory town. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Chitungwiza Mayor Philip Mutoti told a news conference in Harare today that his council is worried by a new wave of invasions of residential stands, especially in the towns Nyatsime and St. Mary's suburbs, at the instigation of unnamed senior politicians.
These enemies of progress are promising residents that they will use the political influence to force council to regularize all stands, even the one being grabbed now.
Pressed to divulge the names of the politicians, Mutoti refused, saying he feared for his life given the recent clashes between ZANU-PF and MDCT youths over residential stands. Mutoti said some Chitungwiza residents were also losing huge amounts of money to land barons who are allocating them stands in Nyatsime without council approval.
I can't imagine exactly what which part of the political body in danger of myself. I can't state anything because it's very dangerous. That's why I say another particular party.
Mutoti urged Chitungwiza residents to apply for land directly to the local authority, adding the law should deal with all those who break the town's bylaws without fear or favor. Meanwhile, Mutoti has come under fire from the Chitungwiza Residents Trust for allegedly demolishing a house belonging to one Sakeleni Mudunge of Manyame Park suburb so he could occupy the property. Chitres coordinator Mavela Skumalo said the mayor's actions were tantamount to abuse of office.
Yeah, we are very saddened by the illegal grabbing of Sakeleni Mdunge stand by the mayor of Chitungwiza, Councillor Philip Mutoti. And as Chitungwiza Residents Trust, we condemn such unlawful actions, mostly by those who are elected to represent the interests of the residents.
However, Mayor Muthoti said he had no knowledge of the incident, adding that he was being blackmailed. But further investigations by Studio 7 revealed that Mudunge bought the residential stand from the Chitungiza municipality in 2007 before erecting structures there. The investigation also revealed that Mudunge has filed a complaint against Muthoti at St. Mary's police station. The MDCT dismissed all its elected councillors in Chitungiza for corruption, among other issues, before the current crop of councillors was elected in the previous elections. Muthoti was elected into council under an MDC ticket. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
The Canadian government says it remains deeply concerned by the forced disappearance of human rights activist Itai Dzamara, who was allegedly abducted from Glenview suburb on 9 March 2015. No light has been shed on his fate or whereabouts to date, despite appeals from Europe, the United States, local and international organizations. In its latest statement, the Canadian Embassy in Harare called on the government of Zimbabwe to live up to its commitment and increase its efforts to investigate Dzamara's disappearance and bring those responsible to justice.
Meanwhile, the National Vendors Union Zimbabwe board member Sten Zorwadza says he is disturbed by National Police spokesperson Senior Assistant Commissioner Cherid Charamba's statement dismissing his abduction claims. Zorwadza claims that four men driving a black Ford Ranger registration number ACO4856 tried to abduct him Saturday afternoon along the Chegutu Harare Highway. Zorwadza, who was on his way to Kadoma for a meeting, says the four men heavily assaulted him while trying to drag him to their vehicle, pointing a gun at his head in the process. He says he was only saved by other motorists who stopped and mobbed the four men. But Charamba told the Newsday that, quote, Zorwadza had contravened traffic regulations and had a heated argument with suspects who were pointing a pellet gun at him. Zorwadza told Studio 7 his lawyers are working on the case.
I had no clue of the scuffle and the abduction process when things were happening hot on the street. But when I went to Chegutu police station, I was very clear that the Zimbabwe government has a hand in it, because the chief inspector at Chegutu police station clearly told us that the vehicle belonged to the Ministry of Local Government, and therefore this vehicle was a government vehicle on a mission. But which mission was to abduct me? So I am linking this possible abduction with the Zimbabwe government. They cannot deny it at this point, because they confirmed that this vehicle belongs to the government. So there is no any other logical explanation as to who and why these guys were trying to abduct me.
But we understand that the police said this was just a road rage scuffle.
Senior Assistant Commissioner Cherik Charamba was very reckless in her words. She was very inconsiderate. She was very provocative in her utterances to say that it was just a traffic offense. And for starters, why would she quickly rush to comment when she is of such a high rank? I really wonder what was her motive to try and mislead the nation.
That was National Vendors Union Zimbabwe board member Sten Zorwadza in Harare with Studio 7.
The Zimbabwe Election Support Network says it is concerned that the use of voter slips continues in elections, indicating that the voters' role is still in a shambles. The elections watchdog made the observation following the weekend by-elections held the elections held last Friday to fill the two seats which fell vacant following the appointment in 2014 of former Vice President Joyce Mujuru and the elevation of Emmerson Mnangagwa to the post of Vice President. In Mount Darwin, ZANU-PF's Bonwell Seremwe won by 18,315 votes, with Kenard Fungai of Transform Zimbabwe garnering 302 votes, while Ruben Matigu of the NCA got 216 votes. In Chirumanzu, Zimbabwe, wife of Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa, Auxilia, got 16,092 votes, with the NCA's Munashe Mutoza getting a paltry 70 votes, and Gadzamoyo Dewa of a little-known party, Good People's Movement, won 86 votes. An independent, Chawawona Gilbert Kanoti, got 257 votes, while the three factions of the MDC all opted out of the poll, citing lack of a will by the government to implement electoral reforms. Zessen also noted the apathy that characterized the elections. Interim president of the NCA, Love Momaduku, said that despite the drubbing, he was happy with the results as it was a learning process. Spokesman David Rodzi of Transform Zimbabwe told Studio 7 that although the elections were not free and fair, they will continue to participate.
We are going to contest in every election that is going to come up. We are not going to surrender. We are not going to tone down on our campaign, but we are just forging ahead as a party.
But what is the use of going into an election which you know that the outcome is already predetermined?
Right. You can never win a war unless you're in that war. You can never fire a bullet from a gun that you do not have in your hand. We are in this war because we have to conquer the enemy. We are in this war because we have to dislodge the system.
And that was Transform Zimbabwe spokesman David Rodi on the line with Studio 7 from Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kilohertz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
A look at regional and international news.
Nigeria's Electoral Commission has begun releasing results from the country's presidential election after the United States and Britain warned of a possible attempt to rig the vote count. The commission today announced official vote totals from 8 states and the capital, Abuja. It said President Goodluck Jonathan won 3 states and the federal capital territory, while his challenger Muhammadu Buhari won 5 states.
U.S. President Barack Obama is planning to visit his ancestral homeland of Kenya in what would be his first visit there as president.
And a solar-powered Swiss airplane arrived in China as part of the fifth leg of its around-the-world journey without any fuel.
In our health segment today, Sandra Nyaira caught up with Dr. Bernadette Ndoro, an oncologist for the Ministry of Health, to discuss about colon cancer, one of the cancers little known in Zimbabwe, but affecting many in the country.
Usually it presents as altered bowel habits, and ordinarily it is constipation or delayed or irregular frequency of emptying one's bowel. Sometimes they can present with blood in the stool. Sometimes they can present with, a perforation that is a hole, you know, forming in the bowel. And that causes a very acute pain and vomiting and the constipation, which I have already alluded to. And sometimes they present with the frank constipation. That is when the stool and the flatus doesn't pass out and is also accompanied with vomiting.
Are there any age groups that you would say are susceptible to this disease?
Colon cancer usually manifests itself in the adult population from, say, about 50, 55 years. That's the average age. But it can also occur in the young population. And in those cases, it's usually associated with, inherited abnormalities.
And in terms of treatment, can you just take us through the paces that one will have to go through after you have diagnosed them of having colon cancer?
Usually we do the colonoscopy, that is looking at the bowel from down below and, you know, taking samples through that way. Or they can have, chest x-rays, ultrasound scan or CT scans looking for disease elsewhere, and also to ascertain the extent of the disease locally. And once we know the extent of the disease, then we plan the treatment. And the treatment is basically dependent on the stage of the disease.
And in terms of awareness, how much will you say Zimbabweans are aware of this type of cancer? Because what many people talk about is breast cancer.
We are beginning to talk about all these cancers because they are there. They are prevalent in the community. And, cancer treatment, cancer management is still in its infancy in Zimbabwe. So we are taking it slowly from the beginning. And when I say beginning, I mean awareness campaigns and screening and things like that.
That was Dr. Bernadette Ndoro, an oncologist for the Minister of Health, speaking with Sandra Nyaira from Harare.
Most Southern African nations, including Zimbabwe, have been devastated by a serious dry spell that has resulted in the wilting of crops, raising fears of a crippling regional famine. Zimbabwean state officials say almost 75% of crops in the nation's southern region are now a write-off, and some parts of the country may record low yields due to above-normal rains, which resulted in localized flooding in Mashonaland West, Mashonaland East, Mashonaland Central, and Manicaland provinces. The floods led to leaching and the destruction of early planted crops. According to United Nations estimates, about 500 of the 1,200 households impacted by the flooding are in urgent need of assistance. Zimbabwe has already given private millers a green light to import maize for domestic consumption. The country needs more than 2 million tons of maize every year and an additional 500,000 as strategic reserves. Director of the Meteorological Services, Tichawana Zinyemba, tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube the erratic rainfall pattern can be linked to climate variability and climate change.
There's also a concept of climate variability, in other words, short-term changes in weather. These instances or the droughts which we are having can also be attributed to that. On climate change, you're looking at a very long period of 30 years or more, and then within that you say what has been the changes as far as weather is concerned within that period. But on a shorter scale, there's climate variability, and some of these issues like very hot temperatures or even drought can also be associated with climate variability.
When is the rain season coming to an end?
Well, I think effectively for the southern parts of the country, we're looking at Masingo, Matabeleland South, and southern areas of Manicaland. The 2014-2015 rainfall season has effectively come to an end. The northern areas, or the rest of the areas, mainly Mashonaland, parts of Matabeleland North, and the northern areas of Manicaland, officially the rainfall season comes to an end early April. Now, having said that, doesn't preclude the fact that we could get rains from time to time, but officially that's when we declare that the season has come to an end.
That was Tishawana Zinyemba, Director of the Meteorological Services, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Chief Mchana Kumalo of Bubi District, Matabeleland North Province, says the crop situation is devastating.
The drought has affected almost everybody in Zimbabwe this year, except for very few areas. that might be having or almost enough food. But the drought situation this year, I think, is worse than all the other years.
So now, how do you compare it, let's say, to last year?
Well, last year was very good. Despite the heavy rain, with an above average harvest.
So at the end of the day, where is the food going to come from?
So we just believe that those areas that have done enough food or more than enough food for themselves will have to sell to other people. Failing that, we have no option other than importing maize from neighboring countries.
Looking at the long-term strategy, what can Zimbabwe adopt in order to contain this kind of situation, even if it's difficult to manipulate nature?
I think we must adhere to instructions from the Department of Agriculture, which is on record on telling us what sort of crops to plant, particularly in regions 4 and 5, which are prone to drought. Small grains, yawuti, and sorghum.
That was Chief Mchana Khumalo of Bubi District speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube.
In our sports segment, Dynamos have kept a 100% start to the 2015 Castro Laga Premier Soccer League season. Reporter Michael Cariati gives us the story.
The defending champions have shot to the top of the 16-team assembly after a hard-fought 1-0 win over Chapungu at Ascot Stadium before a full house. A 15th-minute goal from Ronald Chitio gave the Zimbabwean champions maximum points, pushing them to 6 points in two games and top of the table, just above Cape United, who are also on 6 points. Dynamos, however, are top of the table by virtue of a superior goal difference after scoring 4 goals without conceding a reply. On the other hand, the Green Machine, who beat FC Platinum yesterday, has scored 3 goals and conceded 1. This is Dynamo's best start to the season in the past 4 years that they've won the league title, and bookmakers are already offering odds that Dynamo will be crowned champions again this season. However, Dynamo should be wary of Cape United, who have transformed the under-English coach Matt Harrison. Harrison has also brought back to the Green Machine veterans Leonard Sipa and Atli Rambanebasi, and he feels experience will count in the end.
You need experience. You know, if you're going to be challenging at the end of the season, you've got to have experienced players in your squad, that's for sure.
United are in second position by virtue of their 1-0 win over FC Platinum, but the Miners' coach Norman Mapeza is unfazed by his team's poor start to the season.
It's still early in the season, you know. It happens in football. You just have to keep working hard. I think the results will come.
Overnight leader Sango could only stutter to a 1-0 draw away at Wengere Stadium to Buffalo. The 2-point drop, they've also seen the Sugar Boys drop to third on the league table. But there were good news for Islanders, who managed the 1-0 win over Cholocho Pirates, while another blower side, our mind, had a fruitful trip to Wengere Stadium, where they upended newly promoted Tsongo Tomus 2-1. This is Islanders' first win of the season, and the Blower Giants are now in 9th position with the same number of points as Chicken Inn, Cholocho Pirates, and Harare City. Coach Konani Mafu says the win is what they required to lift their spirit.
We needed to get back our belief. I think we're a good side, and we needed something to lift us up, and that was it.
However, Cholocho Pirates coach Lise Sese says they were not disgraced.
No, the players played very well. Only that when you're playing against the big teams like Islanders, I think they played very well.
By the defeat at the hands of Islanders, but the talk of the football fraternity was how ZPC Kariba fought back from 3-1 goals down to pick up a valuable point following a 3-0 draw against Wange at the Koriare. There was also good news for Harare City, who picked up their first set of maximum points with a hard-fought 2-0 win over visiting Chicken Inn. The battle for supremacy within the Zimbabwe prisons ended in a 1-0 draw, as Flame Lily and Wawa prisons could not break each other. That aside, we say congratulations to Australia for winning the 2015 Cricket World Cup following that easy 7-wicket win over cohort and neighbours New Zealand. We hope that in the 4 years' time, the Chevrons of Zimbabwe will be far much different and far much stronger to put up.